Grace and peace to you from God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That is the question that a lawyer, an expert of Jewish law or Torah, asks Jesus in today's gospel reading. But it's the wrong question. We know in our Lutheran understanding of the gospel that we don't do anything to get eternal life. Our salvation and eternal life with God has already been secured for us by the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I was startled to see a similar statement in an article I read this week, written by Jewish scholar Amy Jill Levine. She too says that in the Jewish context of the story, it was the wrong question, because eternal life is not a commodity to be gained, but a gift freely given. Jesus immediately turns the question back on the lawyer, asking, "What do you think?" And he responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is a good answer. We know that in the gospel accounts by Matthew and Mark, this one is referred to as the greatest commandment. It is the core of the teaching. But the lawyer needs to push it further, and he asks another wrong question. "So, Jesus, who is my neighbor?" It's a question meant to test Jesus and to make himself look good. We all know this Jesus eats with prostitutes and tax collectors and other undesirables. He has a poor understanding of boundaries. How will he set limits on this love your neighbor thing? In response, Jesus tells a story. It is a story that we are used to. It is so familiar to us that even outside of Christian circles, a good Samaritan is someone who goes out of their way to help a stranger. But in its first telling, the story was an in-your-face challenge to the lawyer and to all of the Jewish listeners. In the Jewish community, there were three groups of people: priests, who were descended from Aaron, Levites, who were descendants of Levi, and Israelites, who were the descendants of all the other tribes besides Levi. And so, as Jesus is telling the story, a priest and a Levite pass the man who has been robbed. And the hearers know what will happen next. You know those kind of good stories where it's all set up, but based on what you know is the way these things play out, you kind of know what's coming. So it's pretty clear that the third person is the one who's going to help. And it's all but certain that this person will be an Israelite. Instead, the next word out of Jesus' mouth is the name of the Jewish people's ancient enemy, Samaritan. It's hard for us to understand the depth of enmity and distrust between Samaritans and Jews at that time. Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom, the ones who had broken off from the rule of the Davidic kings. Their bloodline and their religious practice had been sullied by foreigners after the Assyrian conquest. In the second century BCE, the Jewish Maccabees destroyed the Samaritan temple. Then, around the time of Jesus' birth, a band of Samaritans profaned the temple in Jerusalem by scattering the bones of dead people in the sanctuary. It is a deep enmity. Perhaps for us, it would be similar to making the hero of the story a Russian during the Cold War, or in the past 20 years, a member of Al-Qaeda. And so the Samaritan, this reviled, mistrusted one, cares for the injured man and brings him to an inn. Both of those actions are a risk to himself, stopping at a deserted part in the road where there is evidence of robbers. And then imagine him showing up at a Jewish inn, a Samaritan with a badly beaten man. Jesus ends his story with the Samaritan leaving money for the care of the injured man. And then Jesus asks, who was neighbor to the man set upon by robbers? With this question, Jesus reframes the whole discussion. It's not about who is in and who is out of the boundary of neighbor. It is about acting as a neighbor to another human being in need. It is about doing the work of neighbor love. In this story, Jesus shows us some things about neighbor love. Neighbor love demands that we leave our comfort zone, that we see what we do not want to see, that we risk something of ourselves and our comfort for the sake of others. In this story, Jesus also redirects his concern from eternal life to this life. Jesus is about gathering followers to do as he does, to live in love and compassion here and now. Jesus is about showing us what it means to live this life in the gracious and merciful reign of God. Who are our neighbors? Families detained at the border are our neighbors. Rioters in the Capitol building are our neighbors. Homeless LGBT youth are our neighbors. The people who are moving into the tiny home village here in Albuquerque are our neighbors. And those still sleeping on the streets are as well. Texas residents with no water and heat are our neighbors. The people across the street living their daily lives with the challenges of COVID and partisanship and just the frailty of life, they are neighbors too. We can't do everything. I think a part of the challenge to us today, and it's always a challenge in our society, but perhaps even more so in the anxiety and isolation of this year, is that we are overwhelmed. Compassion fatigue may be a cliched phrase, but it is real. The needs are so huge and so far beyond us. How do we even know where to begin? But Jesus doesn't say, fix the world. Jesus has already taken the role of Savior. Jesus says, be a neighbor. Practice neighbor love. Just start somewhere. Find someone, an individual or a group of people that you can respond to with neighbor love and take the first step. Perhaps it is taking food to someone who is ill or donating money to Lutheran Disaster Relief. Perhaps it is giving cash to a homeless family just because they asked. Or calling or writing your state legislators to support a bill that combats hunger or a bill that caps short-term lending interest rates. Neighbor love can mean going out of your way to make a difference in the life of just one person who has been hurt. Or it can be working to change the unjust systems to more equally share our nation's resources so that no one is left behind. We know that sometimes we are the Samaritan and other times we are the priest and the Levite. That's okay. Jesus knows it too. We don't always get it right. What Jesus shows us is that being a neighbor isn't based on who we are or where we live. It's based on a choice, a decision we make to practice love and mercy, a decision to, like Jesus, step across the boundaries set up by our culture and care for another human being who is suffering. That is what it means to follow Jesus. That is what it means to live full, saved, abundant lives in the kingdom of God. Have mercy on us, O God, and show us where we can show up to be neighbors. Amen.